Good morning, everyone. Father, we bow down before you and we just stand in awe, sit in awe of you and your word. Fill us with your spirit this morning, Lord, as we look at another wonderful psalm. They're all wonderful. And lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Five words I want to begin with. I love the Lord because. Psalm 116. That's five words. You fill in the blank. I love the Lord because. Why do you love the Lord? Well, so very, very many reasons. So let's just sing this old Maranatha praise song as we get into the study this morning.
I love you, Lord, and I live by
Psalm 116, I'm going to read the 19 verses first, and then we'll just go through it briefly. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Wow. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Some say this is the most famous psalm after Psalm 23. I don't know, 22 is pretty high up there too. But regardless of which of the 150 psalms this is, it is a wonderful psalm, isn't it? It really, really is. And we see so many different things here. We see, of course, thanksgiving for the deliverance from death. And what a beautiful thing that was. Just think of the Old Testament saints. They had no promise of what was going to happen to them. They just went to Sheol, went to the grave, right? They believed the Messiah was coming. But what did that mean? They hadn't seen him yet, that he'd been here. They hadn't seen the resurrection from the dead. So we see them troubled and sorrowful regarding death. But it starts out, as we sang earlier and talked about, I love the Lord. And when you put in whatever the because is in your life right now, what are the main points are, we probably have some of the same ones and some maybe some different ones. But here the psalmist writes, the primary reason is because he hears our prayers. Is that the number one on your list? Probably not the number one on my list, but the psalmist says, because he has heard my voice in my supplications. Notice that plural on the supplications. I believe David, with a heart toward the Lord, supplications would have been all the way from intense joy to great tears, and probably even at times no words at all, just groaning, right? But the Lord hears. Because he, this is God, the awesome creator of all things, of the universe, has inclined his ear to whom? To me. Now that is worth being an amen, isn't it? Oh my. Because he's inclined his ear to me, what? Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. That's the first I will in here. There are five of them, actually. One is repeated twice, so you can say six. But that's the first one. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And now, the deliverance from death. The pains of death surrounded me. And the pangs of Sheol, or the pangs of the grave, laid hold of me. You know, death is a mess, isn't it? I mean, nobody likes death. But think of the living hope we have now that the Old Testament saints didn't have as vividly. Their sin had not been paid yet. The price had not been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't really have that living hope that you and I share are so blessed with. But the pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of the grave laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Now, in one way, that's a pretty Old Testament prayer there, because he has delivered our soul, if we but believe, right? It's still a good cry, but it's not like, Lord, you got to do something you haven't done. He's already done it. We just have to receive it, right? Verse 5, and these are all things that are in the resurrection, basically. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our Lord is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. How simple are you? How simple am I? On one hand, we're very, very complex. But on the other hand, we make some simple things very complex when they don't need to be. But the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Amen? He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. That ought to be another great amen for everybody who's born again. Verse 8, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And then the second, I will. I will walk before the Lord in the land of living. How is your walk? Does anybody know you're a Christian? Does everybody you meet know you're a Christian? Not by just a name, but by your life. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And now we have a dramatic question here. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What's your answer to that question? Obviously, he doesn't need or want really anything material, right? He created everything. Whatever you give him, you're giving what it's his already. We can't give him any material things. I think he wants the spiritual things, and I think he wants a relationship with us. But what shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits toward me? Now, I find this grammar here, or at least to me, it's kind of great. I want to know what I can give to the Lord, so what's the next thing I'm going to take, right? I'm going to take to give, because it says, I will take the cup of salvation. You remember saying Jesus saying, if there be any way, Father, let this cup pass from me, the cup of the cross. I will take the cup of salvation. Now, why do you have to take before you can give? Unless you're born again, you can't give anything spiritually to the Lord, really. So I will take the cup of salvation, and then I will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, this is the first I will, and I will pay my vows. It's going to be repeated. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. As I see in the presence of all his people, it kind of reminds me of King David with his subjects. We don't know whether David wrote this or not, but it certainly would fit that. Now in the presence of all his people. Now this 15, verse 15 is a wonderful verse, but it's kind of tossed in here contextually. I don't know where it comes from, except it is God's writing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's what Jesus said in his high priestly prayers. He says, Father, I desire that these also, whom you have given to me, may be with me where I am. Jesus wants us with him where he is. So right now he's in heaven. Where does he want you? He wants you in heaven with him. But we're praying here on earth. Come back to earth, Lord. And he is. If we have our heart on anything else other than Jesus' return, I don't think we're really on target with what's ahead of us, really. Because we know that's coming. And we ought to be ready. We're to be ready for that, what the Bible tells us over and over. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Then switching back again a little bit in verse 16. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant. Twice. The son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. And now here's what we offer. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And will call upon the name of the Lord. Again, repeating for the second time, I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, simply put, what can I give to the Lord? I want to take the cup of salvation. And offer praises of thanksgiving with my heart and with my lips. That's what he wants. He wants that relationship from each of us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this precious psalm. And Lord, the psalmist recognized the number one thing in his stated love for you right here was that you hear our prayers. You hear his cry. Because you have heard his voice and his supplications. And here we are this morning, once again meeting to do exactly that. We know you hear us. We know you're prompting us to pray. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being poured out on the church on the day of Pentecost so many years ago. And that since that date, every single believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we actually ask for filling with overflowing this morning as well. That you would lead us now in this time of prayer. In Jesus' name. As we come to the end of the hour, I just want to thank you for praying, being here. The scripture came to mind. I want to pray for you as well. In the context of who we are, 1 Peter 2:5 reads, you also, speaking of believers, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And thinking back to Leviticus of the anointing of the priests, and this is what I just want to pray for each of us. They were to be anointed first for the right ear. They were to be anointed. Why the ear? For us to hear. Him. I pray your ears are anointed two ways, to hear him and not to hear the things of the world. Very selective as to what we hear. And then next was the right thumb. And we can't do very much without our hands, right? But what are we using our hands for? We're using our hands primarily to take care of ourselves and maybe even doing things that shouldn't be touched. Or are these hands set apart? Are we really set apart for the Lord? We're priests in these final days. We need to have clean hands. And then going all the way down to your feet, the big toe of the right foot was to be anointed. Where are you walking? Are you walking in accordance with his word? Psalm 119, 133 is a great verse. It says, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. So I pray that for each of us, to be strong. We can be so easily distracted, but we need to remember the Lord loves everybody. He has no favorites. And when you think of a believer that you kind of have a really hard time with, ask yourself the question, does he love me more than that believer? And when we think of his love greater than anything else, if he could love that other believer so much, can I not love him? Can I not get over myself? And we have an infinite God that we will never understand his ways. I was just thinking of that six-year-old boy that was killed. That boy probably will be, that death, responsible for more people coming to the Lord than if he hadn't been shot. So we like what we see, and we want everybody to be safe and happy and well, wealthy. You know, and I heard the other day again of the same thing. You know, desperate times meet desperate prayers for each of us. Happy and fun times mean happy and fun prayers. Not too effective, are they? So as it gets darker, the light gets brighter, right? So we ought to be praising him for the opportunity to be that walking witness we talked about today here in Psalm 116 in the world, because this is the best time. And yes, it's good to pray for divine appointments, but I suggest that we got 8 billion people around us. It's not too hard to find an unbeliever. In fact, I don't think you can go 10 feet without finding an unbeliever today, or maybe 6 feet, right? So we will have the opportunities to demonstrate our love for the Lord. I want to close now. The psalm closed in praise the Lord. Again, and as I look for praise songs, I don't mean looking for them, but I mean I'm kind of touched from time to time by a praise song. This is another song that the words there, I will praise him, I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. So let's pray, let's sing along here with this. Words are on the third page. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this great psalm. And Lord, may we take the cup of salvation and may we offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving from our hearts and from our lips. We thank you. We praise you. Bless each one because they came. And Lord, may we go as just a little army, praising you, honoring you, and showing your love to that dark and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.